We're going to start off talking about Skeet and elementary school.
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten, okay.
Yeah. I went there.
Did you walk every day?
Oh, yes.
Half a day kindergarten like they have now?
All day.
All day, yeah.
All day, yep.
None of this half-day business.
There was a first and second grade in this academy building, now where the courthouse is. That was the kindergarten. Teacher's name was Lena Hardy. And then the other school, up above, the White School, had third, fourth, and fifth grade downstairs. And upstairs in that White School was a sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And Lena Hardy was a teacher down here to the brick building. It was the first and second grade. And
did you carry your lunch every day?
Yep. We'd carry our lunch. Well, this was when I went to school there when my father was working for Judge Warner, right down the tracks here, right down over across these fields. Mm-hmm. And it was no walk to walk up there. And then, well, as I say, Lena Hardy was a teacher then. And then upstairs, they had a kind of a, upstairs they had a kind of a, like a high school in there.
Up above the kindergarten and first grade?
Yeah, up
there. Oh boy. And that's still the way it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, there is clearly an upstairs.
Yeah. And that's all, that was all one big room, you know. And had these old slate things for right on. Well, anyway, I never had much to do with the upstairs, as I got through when I was the eighth grade.
Did the kids have books?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That you passed on from year to year, probably.
Yeah. And I went there in that first grade when World War I was going on. Mm-hmm. I can remember that very much because they would bring in sheets, cloth, and we used to sit there as little kids, you know, with a pair of scissors and cut that cloth up into little bit of pieces. And they give that to the army for pillows, stuff pillows with.
Oh my goodness.
And we used to do that, oh, say, for about an hour per near every day. Then on other time, of course, we had to learn something. Yeah.
Like reading and writing.
Like reading and writing and things like that.
And, where, when you said the White School, do you mean where Salisbury Central is now? On that piece of land?
Well, right up.
Across?
Up 41.
Oh, all right.
Up 41.
That was where the school was.
There was a schoolhouse here. We called it the White School. Mm-hmm. This was a kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And you go there, as I said, there was a third, fourth, and fifth. And you went upstairs was a sixth, seventh, and eighth. Mm-hmm. They used to have something like a high school up over
up on
there.
That.
And then,
but not everybody had to go. There wasn't a rule that you had to go until you were 16, the way there now is. Maybe you could just quit when you finished eighth grade.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And then they had a kind of like a high school down Lakeville.
Oh, Lakeville had its own?
Yeah, and that's where the Lakeville post office was. It's now.
And that's the school. That was the school.
That was the school.
Did you go to Lakeville very much as kids? The people in each community didn't mix very much? Because you each had your own...
Well, of course, Lakeville, Tom Salisbury.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it was then.
But they used to have a... There used to be a Boom Picture Theater there in Lakeville. No color, black and white.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, they didn't make colored films.
No, and it used to cost us 11 cents to go to the movies. We used to walk.
Which was a couple miles, it wasn't that far.
It's 2 miles Lakeville. Mm-hmm. From the kettle to the station in Lakeville.
Yeah. And the movie theater was near the station?
Right across from the passenger station in Lakeville, where that laundromat and things.
And pizza place is now.
Yeah. That was a movie picture theater. Yeah. And
did you know many of the kids who lived in that town?
Oh, yeah.
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 Because if they had separate schools, you wouldn't have met them so much through school.
We knew. Well, this is a funny thing to say. We used to have an awful lot of fights.
It's common today. With the rival.
This bridge was a deadline for the Salisbury kids to come down.
The one right near the library.
Yeah.
And you didn't dare cross that.
Well, that's where the fights generally used to start. Then they used to, the one that bridge in Lakeville, where that brook runs through, was a Salisbury.
That was there?
Yeah, that's where they figured it anyway.
Yeah.
And, but...
What would you be fighting over, just territory and...
Nothing.
Yeah, like kids, nothing. Like we do today.
We used to get a fight right down in front of the theater.
Yeah. Upsetting the adults, just like it does today.
Well, we most of calling each other names. Once in a while, we get quite a scuffle. A lot of blow struck sometimes. But
was Halloween a big event the way it is today for kids?
A lot bigger.
And trick-or-treating and that kind of thing?
A lot bigger.
Oh, boy.
The street was right full of kids. And all of they'd go to them houses, they'd give us sandwiches, cake, everything.
Oh my.
And we'd have paper bags right full of stuff that they'd give us.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't go to Lakeville. We stayed right around Salisbury. And
you wore the costumes.
Yes.
You dressed up the same.
Color up your face or something. And go in. There was one place I can remember we went to. And they had a trap set for us. And I don't know why.
Probably hated kids.
And it was a minister. He had some pails rigged up full of water. You'd knock on that door, and we used to go in there. When we got up to that door, you opened that door, two or three pails of water would come down, pour right down on our head. But then, you know, we got good and wet, and still, no, when we went in there, he had his name was Carpenter. He was a minister for the Brown Church, and we used to call that the Brown Church. We never called it the Episcopal or anything like that. We called it the Brown Church. Oh, he'd call us back, and he fed us real good. He had big log tables and things, sit there, candy and sandwiches and cake and everything.
Oh.
But that was a joke on us. That water, I never forgot that either.
Oh, that's amazing.
And up to Salisbury School. I mean, I went to the upper grades by, we used to have regular football games. That old oak tree is still up there in the schoolyard. The one I went to was Mary C. Butler, or Emma Clark, mm-hmm. was downstairs, mm-hmm. and the 6th, 7th, and 8th was name was Miss Butler. I never knew. I think it was Mary C. Butler.
Right.
And she was an awful nice teacher. And
one person handled 3 grades at once.
Yeah.
You just took turns while she taught the other grade, then you.
Yeah. We'd be writing, making,
doing something.
Arithmetic or geography or something, which I wasn't very good in any of them. I used to run away to school an awful lot.
Well, I don't think that's very unusual.
Telling the truth, I was a heller.
But that's pretty common.
And, but I'll admit it, some people wouldn't. And,
did your parents get after you if they knew you didn't go?
Oh, they used to get a note from the school teacher.
Oh.
They'd send it by my sister
or
somebody else.
And say you hadn't shown up.
And now, them days, they would, my mother is the worst. She'd go out, we lived up in the woods. She'd go and she'd cut a little bush with a lot of little limbs on it and switch our legs around our butt.
Yeah.
And boy, no, I'm telling you, that's
strong. Hurt. Yeah, it really hurts.
Yeah, that's what we used to got. And my father never said too much about it. My oldest brother, he used to go trapping a lot. He was older than I was, but I trapped with him in later years.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my father told him to come on. He began to run. My father had his shoes off. He couldn't catch him. And he kicked at him. And he hit him in the butt with his foot, you know, just caught him. Broke his big toe. Yeah, he broke his big toe.
Oh my gracious.
Oh, yeah.
Just
a lot of things, you know, happened. And basically.
Were you the youngest in your family?
No, I had my sister and I got a sister and a brother younger than I am.
Okay.
It was 4 boys and a girl. Mm-hmm. And my sister was just as tough as us, our boys, mm-hmm. us boys.
Well, with you guys as brothers, she probably had to be.
Yeah, but we never got in trouble.
No, just having good fun.
We never got in no trouble. But when we knew that we had to do something, we better get there and do it. And we knew.
Mm-hmm.
And they got mad.
Right.
And we used to have to carry our water from a spring.
Mm-hmm.
All about quarter of a mile away. Fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear the siren.
2 12-quart pails of water every night.
Every night, right.
And the next night would be Earl's time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Next night would be Jesse's.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Jesse? It was his time to do it. And then we used to drag wood out of the woods. Oh, my father used to buy wood too, but we just lived in the woods to go get some dead wood. And George Bert Sillick, Sterling Grissom, he had a big voice, and told him we could have all the guy wood we wanted. And I remember once I started on a tree about that big around with an axe.
2 feet across, you're going to take that down with an axe?
Well, I chopped into that tree. I was only about 12 years old.
Oh.
And I was always small.
But strong.
I chopped that tree till it was only that big around. Then it broke over.
Where you expected?
About a week. It took me probably a week and a half to cut that tree down. And then, when I got it down, I chopped the limbs. We chopped the limbs off, say one or two limbs a night, in the evening, or after school. I'd drag one limb home. Then I'd come back and drag another. And it was probably from here to the water to town hall.
Yeah, so it's quite a distance.
And then Jesse would saw it up. Still, and we all had our chores to do, which had to be done. And if I, that water was up to the house, it was my turn to do it. I stayed around the schoolyard and played or something. It got dark. I still had to go down to that spring and get them 2 pails of water and carry them out, because that was a
right.
And my mother would use that for cooking and things. Sometimes.
And you're washing? I mean, when you washed up?
We washed our clothes. You used to have a heave trough with a big rainwater barrel.
Okay.
Big wooden barrel. Mm-hmm. You used to catch that rainwater. Mm-hmm. Like that had a top on it. Mm-hmm. Pipe running to catch that rainwater, and that was the nicest soft water you ever see in your life.
Today, of course, they'd say it'd be acid rain, and
oh yeah,
it might not be the same today.
That's
but
what we,
rainwater used to be wonderful.
And if it didn't rain, us boys used to have to carry it up and pour it in that barrel. Always. Mm.
And then did your mother have a wringer and a wash tub?
She
How
had
did
a,
she have to
she
do
had
that?
A scrub board.
Yeah.
Go in there, scrub it up, and had then one thing she washed it in. Mm-hmm. Then she had another tub here, rinse it water.
To rinse.
Rinse it, and she wrung it out by hand.
Oh, so she didn't have the.
No. Again, not until later years. Mm-hmm. In later years, she had one of us boys used to have to. This was kind of like that. You push the handle back and forth.
Mm-hmm. So she'd get you to help her do.
Oh yeah, we
do that part.
Oh, yeah, and she did it too.
Did you have chickens and
yeah,
so you could have your eggs and
yeah, we had
and
chickens.
Some meat?
Yeah.
Not pigs. Did you raise those too?
Yeah.
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 And did
yeah.
you help with slaughtering them and getting them ready?
When I first got married, I had a pair of pigs, and I used to scratch them on their neck like that.
And they love it.
And lay right down. And I lived up in the middle of Bunker Hill, what they call Bunker Hill, up Factory Street. I don't know, Washington, they call it now. So. Well, anyway, Vince Beale and Roy Bushmill come down to my house, and it was butchering time. I scratched that pig and laid right down. I had to hold it. And I stuck to cut his throat because I was used to butchering with different ones ever since I was 13,
right.
14 years old.
Right, and of course you've done many
I
a deer.
Was a butcher.
You knew?
No.
Not the deer?
There wasn't many deer. You'd hunt a day and a half to get a deer.
Oh my goodness.
There wasn't any. There wasn't any deer.
Boy.
There wasn't many coon. Very, very seldom I caught a coon in a trap. Mm-hmm. And that, deer is a scarce thing. You have to go in those, these mountains. And they were very scarce, but now there's so many deer you can. But I think they're doing a bad thing. I think the state's doing a bad thing for letting them shoot. You see, there's food in these valleys for them deers to feed on. Up in them mountains, up in these mountains now, there's not the food that there used to be, because they've cut it off. They've cut the timber off, the acorn trees and all that. There ain't the food. And all these deers, why these deers are getting hit, is because they're all in the valley. You go on Mount Rocky, you can ask any of the boys that's hunting on Mount Rocky. There ain't many deer up there. And now they can shoot, what, four or five deer, and then they give crop damage to the commission to shoot them. There's going to be, population of deer is going to run out.
Part just because there won't be the food.
Yeah, and they'll have them all shot off.
Now, of course, the new homes are planting yew trees and things that the deer love to eat, so yeah, that'll keep some of them going.
After they get going. I would say then when they plant these little trees, and deer go right along and eat them right up.
I know. But they're hungry.
They're hungry. But they should. And they should have done it a long while ago. Take the season. They're not opening the season in the right time. Now, these old doe deers has got young ones. Running around, their spots is gone. But those doe deers are still nursing.
Even at this time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're still nursing. Mm-hmm. And them deer haven't been weaned yet. Mm-hmm. They know what to do. And
so the end of November really isn't a very good time.
No, they should open the season. Well, they have their young in the fore part of June, May. And then July, August, September, October. Open it up the 1st of November. One doe, one buck. I don't know about shooting these small deer. A lot of them do. A lot of them shoot them just for the horns. There are headhunters. There's a lot of these things that you can see if you're a hunter.
If you're out there.
You better believe it. But I wouldn't do.
No, I'm sure you're right.
I've hunted for 3 days. Mm-hmm. Tracked a deer for 3 days years ago, Louis Bontel and I. For 3 days, same deer.
Not sleeping at night, you just...
No, we knew where, how far we tracked
gone.
Him.
Gone, and then you went back.
We'd pick up the track.
Yeah.
And go again. And finally, we'd get downwind of that deer. Mm-hmm. And I would track, mm-hmm. and Louis would know the place he was going through. Mm-hmm. He'd get him. Mm-hmm. And then he would do the same as me. Mm-hmm. Driving. You got to know the woods. You got to know these mountains.
Right. And where they're going to go.
I know every inch of them.
Mm-hmm. I can believe that.
Yeah, I know.
Tell me again, you said after you were first married and it came slaughtering time, and the other... Mr. Beale came down and...
Oh, yeah.
So after you cut the pig's throat, then did you do everything else?
Yeah.
And cleaning the pig and...
Yeah.
Did you have to cure the meat or how did you preserve it? Yeah.
Well, you take a pig, mm-hmm. after you've cut his throat, bled him out good, mm-hmm.
Just by hanging and letting.
And you take, you've got him, what you call it, got him.
And you save all that too, don't you?
Well, the first thing you have to do mm-hmm. is have scalding water. Mm-hmm. And in that scalding water, you throw a half a shovel full of wood ashes. And that makes it, that there's a lye in wood ashes.
That's right.
And that makes anything smooth, you know, mm-hmm. kills mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. hardness of it. Throw a half a shovel full of wood ashes in the water. And you stick your knife in the water, in hot water. And when you can, and you throw a little coal, when you can just touch that with your hand, and hold it, that water's just right for scalding. If it's too hot, mm-hmm. you set the hair.
Okay.
You put up. Gamble and you soak the head first. Mm-hmm. You put a gamble. A gamble is a stick shaped like that with a notch here and a notch over here. Mm-hmm. Slide his leg on there and that cord hooks into that notch. And then mm-hmm. this one. And two bun then takes a hold of one side of that. And you push it down into that barrel. Pull them up and up. You're on a platform.
Mm-hmm.
About as high as this table.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like here.
Yeah.
And you scald that half. Mm-hmm. And you have hog scrapers.
A minute or two? You don't leave them in very long.
No, you don't leave them.
Yeah.
And then you take, when you can twist the hair off his ears.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you pull him out. Then you get right out of there. There's old, what you call candlesticks. Years ago, mm-hmm. they put candles in them.
Oh.
And then they're round disc like that. Mm-hmm. And they come down like that, all the way around that. You get on them like that. And then on the other side, there's a smaller one. And there's a hole in there. It's where you put the candles in that big white spot when you set it down. And you scrape that hair right off. Don't scrape with the hair, scrape against it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the eyes and the ears, you get them first in the head, because
mm-hmm.
that's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get half of the hog. Mm-hmm. If it's an awful big hog, you have to heat a burlap bags, awful hot, and you put on them in the middle.
Otherwise, you couldn't.
No, you can't.
You can't dip that much of him in.
You can't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that much is left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd say 8 inches. And then you do that. Well, you scald the back end next.
How did you hold him in? Do you have a gambrel up through the neck or the?
No. You put a hog hook.
To the mouth?
To the mouth. Hook that in. Mm-hmm. Right in his jaw.
And you
do the same thing.
Drop, dip him in,
yeah.
Pull him out. Yeah.
Yeah. And you get that hair
mm-hmm.
off.
Mm-hmm.
The hair will go right on. You do the feet and the hocks first.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was hard spots.
Mm-hmm.
And body. And then you get that all scraped. Then you throw good clean hot water on him. You have a bunch of good sharp butcher knives, you know,
mm-hmm.
and sharpen them just like a razor. Take in and you shave all that excess hair,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you leave some,
mm-hmm.
and get it very nice.
Mm-hmm.
That takes all that hair
mm-hmm.
off. And then you take that hog and you hang him by his hind legs. That gamble up there over a limb or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start up in the bottom part of him here. You take that knife and you go like that. And then in his crotch bone, you take that, get a good stiff pointed knife, and you get the, like that, and you pull the limbs apart, like that. And then you go down through, see? Then you're into his stomach. Then you reach in here, and there's a tissue, very tough, like hide, but it's a goat in there. You cut that and loosen that, then you cut around his rectum, and you pull that down and put that over the meat, and then you cut, then you pull the inwards out. Then you've got the chest cavity, which is a piece of skin in between the chest cavity and his guts.
Like a diaphragm, maybe.
Like a diaphragm,
For breathing.
Then, you see, that hog is all gutted, right there.
Did you save all the guts? You had to...
Well,
keep
when
that.
When you got that, they like that fat that's on the guts. And what you do, you take a pan, and hold there. That's what they call a riddle in the guts. Take them guts and pull like that. All the fat runs into the pan. You throw the guts, keep that going just like that, and you riddle them. Then you take his liver out. The liver out, and you've got the heart, and all that thing down there. You cut that last, his chest cavity. Take your knife, you lay him down onto that platform where you scrape that hog again. You draw that knife right down there, just like that. Go down through that meat. Then you take your knife like this, like that, and pull that up through, and open his chest right up.
Through the ribs?
Yep. Then you take a stick, about that wide, about that long, and you don't sharpen it right to a point, blunt point. You open them up and you put that in there.
To hold the opening apart.
Make him stay there.
Yeah.
Like that. Then you hang him up by his back legs after he's all dressed and things like that, and let him cool overnight. Hang overnight. You've got to watch him, or you can hurry in a barn where it's cool and let him cool for all 2 nights and days. If it's hot weather, you shouldn't butcher in hot weather. And then you you cut him up. Well, the first thing you do, cut his head off. Right here. Right here. Cut his head off. They use that head. For head cheese, head cheese. They use that part for head cheese. Then the neck, they will make a sausage, things out of it, you know. And then you hang them up and you split them, right? For like the hand meat saw. That's a good way. They do it different now. You cut that right down through, right to your shoulders. Then take one hand, you hold his leg up, and you cut right in close to his body, just like that, and you hit a joint right down here, and take that leg right off. You want him to hit a bone, because you got to know where that joint is.
Yeah.
See? Then you do the other leg.
Yeah.
And then the hind quarter leg. You do the same thing right here. You cut it. You feel it. You bend his leg up and down. You feel that joint. Then you cut right across that way and hit that joint. Right through. and you got his hind leg, that calls a ham.
Right.
And then, of course, there's that joint, that bone there. Mm-hmm. And you go just below that bone, you take your knife, and you cut right straight across it, just like that. Mm-hmm. And you saw that just below that joint, right where that ham starts. Mm-hmm. And you've got, there's your ham. And then you cut that off about here. Because this is tough down here, because all them cords and things
right.
down there.
Close to the hoof.
Yeah, you don't go way down there. You just cut it way off above his, mm-hmm. above his knee joint.
Yeah. Well, you can see that in the the modern day.
You'll have a piece of ham left like that, which is all cords and
mm-hmm. ligaments.
See, mm-hmm. It don't go good for ham. Mm-hmm. And then you take that.
And do you cure that? You want to.
You take that and you put it brown sugar. Salt, brown sugar, salt, vinegar. And take a big, like you can stuff in, big kettle.
Yep.
You put a potato in there the size of an egg. You keep adding these in the potatoes sink. And you put these ingredients in there and you stir it like that. And when that will float that potato, that pickle is right to pickle your hands in.
Mm-hmm.
So you pickle your hands.
And you haven't cooked the meat or anything. It's
no.
Just goes in raw.
Yeah. Now, you take a barrel. That's what they used to have to do. You take a big 50-gallon, 25-gallon crock.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the ham in the bottom. Because that's the last to come out. See? Then you take the bacon, which comes from here.
Mm-hmm.
Next you put the front shoulders in.
Yeah.
And you put them in. And that, put it in there. Then you take your bacon
mm-hmm.
and put that in there. And you fill that crock up, you know,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, as long as it fills up. And then you take nice clean boards mm-hmm. and you put them right on top of that. We used to take cabbage leaves. Take cabbage leaves. And you put on underneath them boards and put it on top of that meat. Then you set a big stone on it to hold that down. And then in 3 weeks, you take this bacon out, hang it up in the smokehouse on a rack. Let it drip for 2 or 3 days. Then you take a stovepipe.
Yeah.
Build a fire about there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, like the stovepipe up into that little smokehouse or barrel.
Yes.
Right across that barrel,
uh-huh.
you put some sticks crossways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you take in the...
Put your bacon on that.
Yeah, I just use black birch wood.
Yeah, I was going to say, the wood is important, isn't it?
Green black
green
birch.
Black birch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that smoke often just covered the top of that barrel with a burlap bag.
Uh-huh.
You'll see the smoke come out of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they leave that smoke. Six or eight days.
Mm-hmm. You had to keep tending the fire.
Yeah, you had to live right with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you have to keep that fire. And that fire is supposed to be very slow. All green wood. Covered up a lot of times. A lot of times I put a sod on it, on that wood, to keep it so it burns slow.
A little like the charcoal.
Yeah.
That we talked about.
Yeah. And then you get that all smoked, and then 2 weeks. 2 weeks after that, you take your shoulders, your next towel, mm-hmm. hang that up, mm-hmm. let it drip, mm-hmm. and then you smoke it the same way. That might be a little longer.
Yeah.
Then you take your hams out. Mm-hmm. And then you I've smoked them about 2 or 3 weeks. Hmm. It's quite a process.
I'll say.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And,
you
see, that's the way we lived mm-hmm. back then.
How they used to say the definition of a ham is two people. No, the definition of eternity is two people and a ham.
Two people in the ham, yeah.
That's eternity.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't have your kids by then, maybe you did spend quite a long time eating this, but maybe two pigs might last you through the winter.
Yeah, that's what it does. That's what that was our winter meat.
And then once it's smoked, you can just hang it and it's fine.
Yeah.
And it'll last forever.
You can hang it in a cellar, but you got to hang it where it won't freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be in the cellar.
Mm-hmm.
A good dry cellar is the best thing. Mm-hmm. And then your pork.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got your pork
mm-hmm.
to contend with. Now you buy pork chops, a loin.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's his backbone.
Mm-hmm.
Right here, you cut down in.
Mm-hmm.
About that far. You cut down in, open that up, and see that chops. And you take a knife and you cut that pork off, which is that thick.
Mm-hmm.
And you take that all off, and then you got the ribs, which you can do as you want with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to take and cut them up and make head cheese,
mm-hmm.
and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to use rock salt in this procedure. You take a layer of salt, mm-hmm. you put in the bottom of this barrel, about this thick. Then you lay a layer of that pork on there, the rind down,
right,
upside down,
mm-hmm.
and you have a lot of that pork, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of that hog, and then you lay on top of that layer, another layer of salt, then you put a layer of meat,
mm-hmm.
layer of salt,
mm-hmm.
layer of meat, layer of salt, and you don't put no water at all on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That brine will make its own water.
Yeah.
You've got to
right.
press it down. It put the weight on it, hold it right.
Same
down.
Thing, yeah.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you keep a lid on it,
mm-hmm.
and when you want a piece of pork,
mm-hmm.
well, you have to take the lid off and get down in there and take you out the pork,
mm-hmm.
put it back on there. And keep that board that's inside. There's a board on top mm-hmm. of there, you know, not just, you don't put
that. Right.
And that weight keeps that down, and that's how you get your salt pork.
Now, that's the stuff that you use to grease the chute
that,
for the wood.
That, That was the fat, the salt pork.
Yeah.
But down here
is the loin.
Is the best pork.
Yeah.
With a lean in it.
Yeah. Now, did you salt that too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So all of that got.
That's all.
Yeah.
But then again, you have two different porks. You have the fat pork.
Right.
Then you have
very lean.
Then you have the lean. Mm-hmm. And you can also use that down there with the lean on. You can smoke that into bacon.
Okay.
You've seen the lean, lean the fat.
Mm-hmm.
That comes right off there, which is that thick.
Which they call the belly or the pork belly or something like that.
Yeah, the belly you use for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And you make your head cheese.
Now the head cheese, did that have to be kept cold or could that?
That they used to leave it right into a big milk pan.
Yeah.
You know what a milk pan is?
Mm-hmm.
On the milk pan, they'd leave it into a milk pan like that. You used to fry it up and cook it over, but
In Pennsylvania, they made something called scrapple. Did you ever taste that where you mix the cornmeal with all the parts of the pig that you don't eat straight off? Did you do anything special with the liver?
Yeah.
What'd you do with that?
We used to take and just as soon as we took it out of the hog, we'd wash it.